Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I'm Jay Clone 58.
And today's episode is about Amish vampires in space.
What?
No, check out that book, though. I just got it in the mail.
Yes. Amish Vampires in Space, by a novel by Kerry Neitz.
Ohio man.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to talk about Old Slavey today.
Huh? What?
Old Slavey.
Okay. Okay.
That's the name of a monster.
I'm listening.
So when I say Old Slavey, and it's O-L, Slavey, like Old Slavey, what do you think of?
I mean, just a old, indentured servant that do all your...
I mean, you're talking about slaves?
I don't know, I guess.
You think it has something to do with slaves?
Probably. It's kind of in the name. Unless you're saying it wrong.
No, it's slave.
What if it's Slavic?
It's from Canada's Great Slave Lake.
Oh, there you go. So, old Slavey. That's what I was talking about.
Which we're going to talk about why it's called Slave Lake,
oh,
where that comes from, because it's not where you think.
Interesting.
It's not. It doesn't really have anything. I mean, a little bit, but it doesn't have anything to do with like the Atlantic slave trade or anything like that.
Okay.
So Canada's Great Slave Lake covers about an area of 10,900 square miles.
It's a big lake.
So this is one, if you've ever heard us talk about like the Great Lakes stuff. Technically, this is one that probably should be a Great Lake because it's bigger than most of the Great Lakes.
Really?
Yeah, it's huge. Look it up on the map. It's absolutely massive.
It still has the same name?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not like, I don't think it's bigger than our Great Lakes, but it's up there. I think it's bigger than some of the Great Lakes.
Oh, yeah, it's big. I see it.
So it is 2,015 feet at its deepest point that we've discovered.
Okay.
2,015 feet. Whew. Making it the ninth largest lake in the world and the deepest lake in North America.
Yeah, that's pretty freaking big. I'm looking it up right now on the map. It's huge.
Named after the Slavey tribe in North America.
Okay.
Which is a Native American Indian group that the Great Lake, the Great Slave Lake, you know, called home. The lake itself is roughly 298 miles long. So let's see, that is about twice as long as our state.
Yeah.
And it's about 67 miles wide at its widest point.
Yeah, it's pretty narrow for, I guess.
70 miles wide is narrow?
As far as it is long? Yeah, it's, gosh, it's gigantic. I'm looking it up.
Its chief tributaries are the Hay and the Slave River, which we've talked about the Slave River a lot with some of our Canadian and Yukon and that kind of stuff, like cryptids and monsters.
Okay.
The Slave River has a unique history with monsters and weirdness.
Okay.
And it drains, and it's drained by the Mackenzie River, which we've also talked about. The lake remains partially frozen for roughly 8 months out of the year.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So there's our ice fishing crew I follow on Great Slave Lake.
Yeah.
That they just ended their ice fishing season. Like, I think July 16th was their last day out.
What? Okay.
And they're like, we'll be back in October.
Yeah. Gosh.
It's only like 4 months out of the year they can't ice fish.
That's nuts.
And the guy was talking about, he's like, there's people still driving out here. I wouldn't, but he's like, the people are.
Well, that's nuts.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, 8 months out of the year, it has ice on it. And during the winter, the ice becomes thick enough for full semi-trailers to pass over it on man-made highways.
Yep. Which you've seen that before in person.
In 1771, a British fur trader named Samuel Humey explored the area and crossed the frozen lake, which he initially named Lake... Now, I'm going to try to say this. Athapuscow. After the erroneous French speaker's pronunciation of Athabascans. In the 1930s, gold was discovered in the area around Great Slave Lake, and this led to the establishment of Yellowknife, the territory's capital city. Other towns around the lake included Fort Providence, the Hay River, and Fort Resolution.
Cool.
On July 24th of 1978, the Soviet radar ocean reconnaissance satellite named Cosmo 954, built with an onboard nuclear reactor, fell from orbit and crashed into the Great Slave Lake.
Okay. That's pretty interesting.
The satellite exploded on impact, causing nuclear fuel to fall all over the area.
There's nuclear fuel in satellites?
In this satellite, it was nuclear powered.
Wow. I didn't even know that we did that.
A joint Canadian-American recovery team was assembled, dubbed Operation Morning Light, to collect all the radioactive debris. The radioactive portions of the satellite's power plant and other items of interest for the intelligence agencies. Although stories of unknown creatures in the lake date back to its original habitation of the Dena tribe. I think I'm saying that right, the Dena?
I don't know.
I think it's Dena. It's D-E-N-E.
Okay. Dini?
Dana, Dina.
Dini? I don't know.
Documented sightings of the beast were not recorded until relatively recently. So, like the tribe, the Dena that lived there before, and the slave tribe that lived there, the slavey that lived there before, talked about there was a lake monster. The lake's massive.
Right, it's huge. We're
talking about a lake monster. But then after radioactive fallout fell over the lake, then sightings spiked for some reason.
Huh. That is kind of odd.
It's almost like the whole bottom of the lake where the creature maybe normally lives.
Yeah.
It's become super radioactive, so it's having to spend more time towards the surface.
Two, what are the odds, though, that... Well, one, I didn't know we had radioactive satellites.
I don't think the U.S. ever did.
Yeah.
The Soviet Union, I think, put nuclear power plants into everything. Because they lasted... They last forever, but then you have to deal with the fallout.
Yeah, what happens when they come crashing down?
Well, it poisons a Canadian lake.
Apparently so.
Not a Russian lake, so it's not our concern.
Okay.
So yeah, the beasts were not recorded until relatively recent. Many people travel the lake, though not actually see the creature, report weird happenings on the lake, including their craft starting to ski and being struck with solid objects in over 300 feet of water.
Okay.
So you know what skiing is for a craft? It's like when it starts shooting sideways.
Oh, okay.
So like if your boat mysteriously, it's like something hit it from underneath.
Yeah.
And it's pushing your boat really far sideways. And then something in 300 feet of water just coming up and ramming the bottom of the boat. Some people even say like the whole boat got picked up and slammed down.
Jeez.
And this is like from the 1970s on. This is modern.
Okay. This ain't some 1800 story.
No. Some sightings, like Antonio Michaels, consist of appearance and sightings of large humps in the water, usually mistaken for rocks until they get closer and they submerge back into the lake.
Okay.
So Old Slavey will sit on the surface and stay very, very still until people get very close to him, and then he'll dive again.
Like the Zaratan.
That or Lake Leonel Monster.
Oh, yeah?
What you call it, bluff. This one's just huge. Sometime in the mid-90s, during the recovery operation to locate the body of a man who had fallen through the ice, two of the three divers reportedly saw some kind of gigantic animal, which they described by one of them as having an alligator-like body with the head of a monstrous pike with hanging teeth. The divers surfaced and asked the search and rescue workers what it may have been, but no one knew. So these divers were just like, what animals are down there?
Yeah.
We ran into something. It's massive. It looked like an oversized pike with like an alligator skin. What's down there? The guys are like, there's nothing down there.
I got two guesses.
Well, both of them would probably be wrong.
Okay. My two guesses were white sturgeon, and my other guess was alligator gar.
One of those is wrong.
Okay. Alligator gar is probably the wrong one.
Yeah.
Well, the alligator skin, pike, they're kind of pike-like.
No, I mean, the description's right.
Yeah.
They couldn't survive up there.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
It's just too cold, and they are air breathers.
Well, that's why it was at the surface, duh.
Well, in a lake that's frozen 8 months out of the year.
Yeah, it breathes in 4 months. It just holds its breath.
Like, that's why gar, there are gar that go up in Canada and stuff like that in both, and then go up in Canada. But that's why their stop is because they can only survive so long under the ice without breathing.
Yeah.
Because they do have gills still. They can kind of breathe water.
Right, yeah.
But they need
to gulp air. Yeah.
They need air. There's only so long they can not have air.
4 months, it's that one slush.
8 months.
Well, I mean, 4 months, it had a chance to breathe.
Yeah, and it's like, please, please.
Yeah.
And then it's a late spring.
Yeah.
So it's 9 months.
All right, fine. It's not
so one the search and rescues are down there looking for the body of this guy that fell through ice fishing. And they see this monster, and they come up, and they're pretty freaked out, but these are professional divers, so they'd actually been with like alligators and that kind of stuff. So they've seen big animals in the water. So they're pretty much just like, what animal is it then?
Right, yeah.
You know, what animal do we see down there? And the guys are like, there's no animal down there that big.
Yeah. Well, it's not in their catalog.
Right, and they're like, the divers are like, BS.
We've seen it.
Yeah. It ate Tim.
Did you see Tim?
They then again made their way back to the bottom in search for what they had seen and the body. But by this time, the sediment in the bottom had become so stirred up, it made it impossible for them to continue the search and rescue.
Mm-hmm.
So they described it as if a giant animal had either panicked and stirred up the bottom.
Yep.
The body of the man who'd fallen in the water was never found, which for Great Slave Lake is not uncommon.
Right. It's gigantic and
it's very cold.
And what they said, the bottom sounds like it's maybe not so solid.
Oh, that part was, in the, I think, 800 feet. Or no, that was, sorry, 300 feet of water.
Okay.
But it gets up to 2,000 feet of water.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
2,000 feet of water. So one of the more credible sightings took place in 2004 by a Roman Catholic priest named Father Jim Lynn. He looked out of his home on the shores of the Great Slave Lake near Yellowknife, and he saw a strange object trailing a small speedboat across the lake. So he's just watching. He's in his house, just looking out the window, looking over the lake. And he sees this little speedboat going and this massive thing following behind the speedboat.
Mm-hmm.
Lynn grabbed his goggles and curious what the object could be. He described what he was seeing as a large dragon-headed monstrosity that rose 6 to 8 feet above the water and was keeping up at a very fast rate of speed with the speedboat.
Mm.
It was just big reptilian head.
Yeah.
Being held out of the water, just swimming and keeping up with the speedboat. Father Jim contacted the Yellowknifer local, which is the local newspaper, and placed an advertisement asking for a person who was piloting the boat being chased by the creature and, you know, that day to please call him. You know, he wanted to make sure he was okay. The story quickly got the attention of the colonist, which is Chris Woodrall, who dubbed the creature Old Slavey in an article which outlined the existence of a strange unknown creature in Great Slave Lake. To his surprise, his phone began to ring off the hook for people claiming to have seen such a creature. So, yeah, this was like the big jump when everybody was like, oh, you know, there's something there.
Yeah, because once it's put in a paper or made public, then people aren't afraid to talk about it.
Yeah. For those people who came forward and claimed that they had seen something in the lake, many began to wonder what the beast was. There's actually not very many formal theories of Old Slavey's true identity could be, leaving you to consider an array of possibilities. So I got some stuff. That, you know, this is a Wednesday episode. They're generally a little shorter.
Is there some chance, though, that this doctor, he was a doctor, right?
No, it was a priest.
Priest, that's what it was.
Father.
Father, he's a father. Is there any chance that he could have seen the wake of that boat?
So that is, I've seen his interview a couple times.
Yeah.
He's been on shows like A Monster Quest and those kind of shows.
Uh-huh.
He was very adamant that he'd seen those type of things before.
Yeah.
And that the whole head of the animal was out of the water, yeah. Like 8 feet.
The only thing I can maybe think
I've seen those like wakes, and the Loch Ness is famous for them, you know.
And boats can throw off some weird
yeah.
shaped wave or wake pattern, especially coming right out of the motor. So, I mean, you've seen, like, jet skis have the big rooster tail, you mm-hmm. know. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe if the light catches it just right.
I mean, it could be. I don't think so, but it yeah. could be. Because, I mean, that's what he did every morning. He kind of did, you know, he had this giant, like, bay windows.
Yeah.
He just sat and watched the lake when he was having his coffee.
That sounds nice. Sounds nice.
The guy in the jet boat's dead.
That part doesn't sound as nice. Yeah, he never called in, did he?
Now, there was a couple people claiming to be him. Yeah. So, we don't know.
Yeah, okay. Well, either way, hopefully he's all right.
He's dead.
Yeah, and he's dead now.
I almost said the line from the Sasquatch.
Yeah, I know.
So let's talk about some candidates to what Old Slavey could be.
And then
we'll come back around and talk about the Slavey tribe.
Okay.
But yeah, many people, you know, have their own opinions on Old Slavey's identity. You've already named one of the biggest culprits.
Okay.
The white sturgeon.
The white sturgeon.
Now, a white sturgeon could look like the giant humps. They're, you know, white sturgeon in the lake lock, you know, population. Let's say the bottom is radioactive and it's hurting them. They could be spending more and more time towards the surface. That could cause sightings to spike. They are comfortable in 1,000+ feet of water.
Mm-hmm.
Low respiration rates and that kind of stuff. So low O2 down there, but they'll just sit down there all day. So that could be why the sightings jumped so dramatically.
Oh, in that gotcha.
Short of time frame. The sturgeon were always there.
Yeah.
And occasionally seen.
Right.
After the radioactive material dumped into the bottom of the lake, radioactive material is super heavy. It settles to the deepest points of the lake where the sturgeon are spending most of their time. So mm-hmm. now they're spending more and more time at the surface.
More chance to be seen.
So yes, while the Native Americans in the area had stories of the giants, you know, but rarely seen. That'd be why after the 1990s, sightings of these guys spiked.
You mean the Native Americans didn't dump any radioactive satellites in the lake?
Not many.
Oh.
Other giant fish are blamed. Everything from catfish, which aren't normally found that far north, at least most large species of catfish, to giant pike and other musculids. Or not musculids, sorry. Esox.
Oh, gotcha. Yes. Muskellunge.
Muskellunge. So musky and pike there could be just giant versions of these guys.
Yeah.
The world record muskie, I think I'll have to look it up, but they only found a jawbone of it. It never was caught or nothing
right,
like
yeah,
that.
Right, yeah.
And they thought they mistook it for a gray wolf's jaw.
I forget what they estimated it to be.
I think it was like 70-something inches.
Which is just insane. I would like to know.
That could eat a person, just so everybody knows.
Easily. I caught, like 48-incher. It could have eaten me when I caught it, as little as I was. And then those fish are monsters. What would be awesome, though, is if we could look in the past and see if there was like...
Around 70 pounds and 72 inches.
That's a big old fish, muskie. What if there was like super-sized muskie, you know, back before, you know, like 10,000 years ago in some of these lakes? They just got this super-sized...
So...
You know, 100-inch muskie.
Pike. Let's talk about pike.
Yeah.
Pike don't normally get as heavy as muskellunge,
right.
muskie, but they get almost just as long. Historically.
They can. That's a big fish. Gosh.
So they've done a couple studies on this. There was there's a lost species of pike in the Northern Hemisphere.
Okay.
The
blue pike.
No, that's a walleye. But no, oh, yeah. Giant pike. Where they were, I'm trying to remember, every once in a while they'd catch a pike in like the UK and Russia and stuff like that and say this pike was like 50 or 60 pounds.
Okay.
But they would call it looked like a pike, but it had some differences. So genetically, they just did a recent mitochondrial survey up there, and they found traces of another species that got bred to extinction.
Hmm.
So there is a giant pike out there. So these extra large individuals of normal Esox, the normal pike, have some genetic hiccups or genetic characteristics from their ancient, or not their ancient, their cousin that is now quote-unquote extinct.
Extinct, yeah.
So in the Northern Hemisphere, there could be small populations, and this could explain these oversized giants.
Oh.
Where they talked about them being like 7 foot long, you know, monsters.
That would be awesome to catch.
Yeah, so lake sturgeon, giant pike, giant catfish. You said it, alligator gar. People brought that up. They make excellent candidates. My big thing with the alligator gar is they do fit the bill, as in what they look like. What mm-hmm. what the divers specifically described old slavey as. They're air breathers, so they'd be at the surface a lot.
Yeah.
This is very far away from the end of their historic range.
Right, okay.
It's they can handle the cold. The cold's not that big a deal. It's the air breathing and the reproduction.
Okay.
They breed on seasonal flood plains in the spring.
Okay.
So they breed on terrestrial grass.
Yeah.
It always makes people laugh when you say that this giant fish breeds on terrestrial grasses.
Yeah.
Because they do, because they wait for it to flood, and then they come out and breed.
Hmm.
And they're air breathers. It just, we stop seeing alligator gar in areas that have a lot of ice coverage. You start seeing some of the smaller ones, short nose, spotted, and long nose are much more tolerant of those systems mm-hmm. because their bodies are a lot smaller. So when they go into their hibernation-like state, it's just really, really slow respiration. They can kind of survive more. And even bowfin.
It's easier for them to, yeah.
So the air breathers, I don't know. I'll look it up because I didn't have it here, what the farthest northern ever recorded alligator gar is.
For an alligator gar?
Yeah, well, talk for a minute.
Well, I can't imagine it's going to be too high just for the very fact, ice.
I know they get all the way up to the end of the Mississippi.
Yeah.
But that's seasonal visitors.
Right, yeah, yeah. No, I think you make a pretty good case with the ice forming that they wouldn't thrive too well there. And with this lake, and it is gigantic, I will say that. It is gigantic, but it's still just like it's a lake. It's like sturgeon, you know, they're landlocked. Or they're not landlocked, they're androgynous.
So yeah.
This lake's pretty landlocked.
Ohio Mississippi River drainages is the farthest they go. North there has been reports as far as northern Iowa. Possibly Nebraska and parts of Kansas.
Mm.
But outside of river systems, they are almost never seen in lake systems in the far northern parts of the regions.
Oh, okay. So it just really doesn't fit the bill at all for their habitat.
It's not saying it's overall impossible, but right. it's very unlikely. Likely.
It's, yes. A lot of things are adding up against them.
Another one we always have, giant eels.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You never can pass up a giant eel.
Never.
Because they can end up anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And well, yeah, they can end up anywhere and they can go anywhere. Literally, they can go wherever they want. They don't even need water.
Short periods.
Yeah.
Another one people keep throwing out there is like what they used to say, think old Sam was large snake. Okay. They keep saying that it's a demon snake. It's a large snake. It's like the lost little people snakes. Like when we talk about the Bridgewater Triangle.
Yeah.
Where they have snakes as thick as stovepipes.
Yeah.
Don't know. That's just thrown out there a lot.
I mean, what if it is a Sam cousin?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
I don't know if anybody noticed that slight interruption, but everything's okay. Today's been a day. Another one, it could be is possibly misidentifications of known creatures.
Okay.
Like moose.
Okay. I've seen a moose swim.
They huge, massive heads. Hold them high. They can hold them high above the water. Most of the time, they're more like a hippo.
I don't think I could see a moose swimming as fast as a speedboat, though.
No, but I could see one swimming and popping up behind a speedboat because it almost got ran over by a speedboat.
Yeah. I mean, moose are massive, too. And unless you've ever seen a moose or a person or have any idea how big a moose actually is, they're a lot bigger than you think. Mm-hmm. I'm just willing to guarantee that. A lot bigger than what you imagine in your head. Okay, so moose, I could see that. Someone being confused, seeing a moose rack pop up behind you in your boat.
The other candidate is an unextinct or an undiscovered species of aquatic life.
Ooh, okay.
So in this area, there were some freshwater cetaceans.
Okay.
Long time ago. So freshwater whales.
Right.
Before they went extinct.
Okay, long time ago.
Yeah, and that same with Champ. Where they get some of the beluga whale recordings in the lake. And you're like, how could a cetacean still survive in a lake that's heavily traveled?
Yeah.
I don't have a good answer for it. I do know that the recordings have been analyzed heavily. Mm-hmm. And the closest thing they are is a beluga whale. There has been freshwater versions of beluga whale fossils found in the area.
Mm.
So there's always that chance that this is a small group. I mean, there's not a lot of people that live by Great Slave Lake.
No.
Cetaceans in general are highly intelligent animals.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
And for anyone that is, this Great Slave Lake is like halfway to three quarters of the way up Alberta.
It's on the top. Yeah. It's on the top of the world.
It's like, it's not quite to the Arctic Circle, but it's right up to it.
Does it touch the Arctic Circle?
It's close. I looked at it on the map. It's close. It's not quite up to it, but it is right up to it. So yeah, it's up there in a very remote, I'll say it's a remote part of Canada, but that's about 99% of Canada's remote parts of Canada.
Oh, it's not even Alberta. It's in the Northwest Territory.
That's not Alberta?
No. It's above Alberta.
Oh, it's above Alberta. Oh, I thought that was in the whole territory.
No, that's the Northwest Territory, which is like...
Oh, gosh.
Not even the Yukon. It's next to the Yukon.
Okay. So, yeah, it's...
It's parallel to the Yukon.
Right. It's beside it.
You're right beside the Yukon. Yep. So, it's... I mean, it's where they still see mammoths and stuff like that.
Yes.
So if there's any Ice Age holdovers... I mean, the Yukon Great Beaver Eater, too.
Ooh.
Which is a giant, I mean, it's in the kids' book.
Yeah.
But a giant semi-aquatic monstrosity.
Oh, you know what? I was looking at Slave Lake.
Yeah.
So that one's in Alberta. Okay, now I'm looking Great Slave Lake, and it is about 10 times as massive as what I was looking at before.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's huge. There's Yellowknife.
But, so moose eat a lot of vegetation. They're aquatic animals. They almost get their entire diet in some parts of the year in aquatic vegetation. Mm-hmm. They're great swimmers. The other one is some people have suggested there are obviously, you know, rivers and systems that connect it to the ocean, but it's a long way around.
Mm-hmm.
Just random sea life. Canada and Alaska, I can't remember where it is. There is a lake, I think it's in Alaska, that has a population of inland seals.
Ooh, all right.
Where it's there's only two places in the world where there's freshwater seals.
Okay.
I think it's Alaska and Russia, and they're separate. But like Loch Ness will have seals get in every once in a while.
Yeah.
Seals aren't, they have to be in salt water, but they can go into freshwater for short periods of time.
And they can end up anywhere, like the elephant seal.
They can end up anywhere.
South America.
There's always a chance that every once in a while a seal gets up in here and causes some sightings. But yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
So, I mean, there's not really, like, there's no physical evidence that suggests an unidentified large creature's living there, but there's not been a lot of work put in because it's on the top of the world.
Yeah, it's way up there.
So some of the sightings, we already mentioned some of them. The moonlit night where Antonio Michael and his wife were returning home after a caribou hunt across the lake. Antonio saw what appeared to be an extremely large rock formation sticking up out of the water. He started to navigate around it. As he passed the rock formation, it slowly sunk below the surface.
Mm.
Waves from the large rocks rocked his boat.
So that's literally Lake Leelanau.
No, but he's describing this as like a rock stack, like a monster, like a mountain.
Oh, okay, so now we're Zaratan territory.
Yeah, that's more Zaratan.
Okay.
So maybe this is the home of baby Zaratan.
Well, as I'm looking on the map, it's right below, what is that, Great Bear Lake?
Yeah, that's the one of the biggest lakes in the world.
Yeah, they're two massive ones. These guys, I mean, these lakes really are.
Great Slave Lake is also the ninth largest lake in the world.
Yeah, it's just as big.
But I think Great Bear Lake is the third largest lake in the world.
Really?
I mean, look at the shape of Great Slave Lake versus Great Bear Lake.
Right, yeah.
So volume wise,
I could see it. They're both
Great Bear Lake's a big circle.
They're both absolutely massive.
So maybe this is, there you go. It's a nesting ground for Zaratan.
I could be. But there's like tributaries and a lot of like connecting waters. It's very close to the open ocean.
A billion lakes in between there in the ocean.
I don't see, there's no reason why this couldn't be an ocean dwelling creature that's found its way into this area, you know, maybe as like a breeding thing mm-hmm. to where it's going back. And then as an adult, it goes back out of the ocean. It's right there.
Baby Zaratans.
It's right there. I don't know. This is wild.
All right. Let's talk about the slavey. I think that's how it's pronounced. It's S-L-A-V-E, which is slave, right?
Yeah.
Why?
I would say slavey.
That's how I think it's pronounced.
Yeah.
It's a Canadian First Nations. They're called the slave people. The slavey people. So I'm literally going to read off the Wikipedia page for you guys at home because I don't know how else to pull up anything about these people.
Just going to them.
Because everything else has like a paragraph on them. There's not a lot of them left.
Gotcha. Okay.
According to the 2016 census, there's 2,600 of them left.
Okay.
But the slavey, also known as the Anishinaabe people, the slave people, or the South Slave people, are a First Nations group of indigenous people of Canada. They speak the slavey language, which is a part of the Anishinaabe language.
Mm.
They're part of the Dena people. Their homeland is the Great Slave Lake region, which is in Canada's Northwest Territory, Northeast British Columbia, and Northern Alberta. They are the slavey people.
Mm-hmm.
This Great Slave Lake is named after the slavey people. Old slaveys named after the Native American group.
Yes.
Very little to do, if at all,
with slaves in general. Nothing.
Slavey or slave is a translation word for the Anunnaki, which is the name given to the Dena people by the Cree, because the Cree a lot of times enslaved the Dena people.
Okay.
So it has to do with the Native American slave taking.
Yeah.
Versus the Atlantic slave trade. So it's nothing to do with like African American slaves.
Right.
It's the Cree taking the Dena as slaves.
Right.
These group the slavey.
Okay.
So they'd raid and enslave. The slavey people were considered to be much less aggressive than the Cree people in the areas. So when fighting came, the slavey people just would rather be taken than fight.
Okay.
So, yeah. And that's, you know.
Tale as old as time.
Is what I'm reading. So I don't know.
Yeah.
The Slave River, the Lesser Slave River, the Great Slave Lake, Lesser Slave Lake, are all derivatives from the Cree name for these people. The Esquivaux remain incorporated into the French name for these, you know, which just means enslaved people.
Okay.
Since the French traded with the Cree before the English did. So the French gave them the extra word, basically the enslaved people. The people now called the slavey in English are not necessarily taken as slaves in that period at all. It just the name they were given to after this period of time.
Gotcha.
Because they're like, that's just kind of what the Cree called that other group, this group of Dena. So it stuck.
Okay. That makes sense.
So I don't think it's derogatory at all.
Yeah.
I can't find anywhere where it is. So if you are a Dena or a slavey tribe member and it is, please reach out to us. I really have no idea. We have a pretty big Native American listener base, and you guys are always amazing with helping us find out more.
Yeah.
Everything I've read says slavey people.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it's not derogatory.
Right.
But I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. At the end of the day, we don't know nothing.
Mm-hmm. But I'm always open to learn.
That's right.
But yeah, so old slavey, I just wanted to put that out there, because when I first seen it, because we've talked about Great Slave Lake, and I assumed it was something to do with the Atlantic slave trade.
Yeah,
and
me too.
It has nothing to do with the Atlantic slave
trade. At all.
It was the Dena being taken enslaved by the Cree, and the Cree telling the French many, many years later that that's their nickname for this tribe, is the slave tribe.
Mm.
So the enslava, or enslava, or how you say it in French, just means enslaved people. So when the English came by, it's slavey people.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm not sure how the
French
say
it. Was that entomology?
Is it? I think it's pronounced non enslavé. That's how you say it in French.
Probably. I don't think we have any French listeners.
Not anymore.
We haven't picked on them in a long time.
We've round them all off.
We did.
As they should be.
If anybody didn't know, that was early in the podcast. So yeah, there you go. Old Slavey. There's not much to him. I do like the breeding ground for the Zaratan.
Yeah, we might have figured something out. What if it's bloop grounds?
Which is the same thing.
Oh, it could be. Yeah, very well could be.
I mean, it's 2,000 feet deep.
Yeah. Oh, it's yeah. That's a great thing about it. Much like the Loch Ness episode we did, I didn't know how deep or how big Loch Ness actually was. And this lake, 2,000 feet? I don't know if anyone knows.
It doesn't say how many square miles. I'm just curious. You keep talking for a minute.
Well, I mean, just look on the map. Great Slave Lake and just see how big and massive it is. It literally is the size of, like, Lake Erie. It's just as big.
I think it's bigger.
Actually, it does look bigger. It definitely looks bigger than Ontario. Is that what that one is?
I'm doing Lake Michigan because it's one of the bigger ones.
Okay. It's bigger than Lake Erie and Ontario. Not combined. It's just so bigger.
Lake Michigan's 22,000 square miles.
Yeah.
And I'm doing Great Slave Lake.
Okay. Yeah. And like I said, don't be confused with Lesser Slave Lake because it's a lot smaller. Still big, but a lot smaller. I'm just shocked at how big this lake is. We'd have to get up. I want to go up there so bad.
Okay. So it's about half the size
of Lake Michigan. Okay.
Which is. Anybody hasn't been on Lake Michigan, Lake Michigan's an ocean.
Well, Lake Michigan is the biggest and deepest Great Lake by far.
Yeah. Is it the biggest?
I thought volume-wise it was.
Definitely by volume because it's so deep.
That's what I meant. Volume, it's biggest is amount of water.
Great Slave Lake is 11,000 square miles.
So, okay.
It's
so
exactly half
okay.
of Lake Michigan because it's 22,000 square miles.
Gosh, yeah. Yeah, it's massive.
Oh, so it's the fifth largest Great Lake. And so, according to this, Great Slave Lake is the fifth largest of the Great Lakes in North America.
Wow.
And the 10th largest in the world.
Wow, yeah.
So big. The other thing I had is the ninth.
If a monster is going to survive anywhere, and let's say a lake monster is going to survive anywhere in the world or just exist, this, I would imagine, would be a great candidate lake. Not as much people, a gigantic space. I'm sure the water's cleaner there than it is anywhere here, any of our lakes.
I don't know, because... the radioactive nuclear satellite that fell from the Russians.
Well, I guess even with that involved, it's still cleaner than...
That's why everybody was seeing it, because it was dying on the surface.
Yeah, flopping around. Well, that would call some attention to it, yes.
Put it down. Put it down!
Not Old Slavey. Don't put Old Slavey down.
There you go. Old Slavey t-shirts coming out soon.
Yeah. Don't put him down.
Don't put him down. All right. I have been the great and powerful mystery...
And I've been Jay.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jay clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! You know, just in hindsight, you know, in second thought, after pondering over it for about 10 seconds, I think that t-shirt may be a problematic one.
There won't be any Old Slavey t-shirt.
Yes, we are going to pass on it. Maybe just the picture with no name or no text we could get away with, but I think adding the text, don't put them down.
Old Slavey, don't put him down.
It's not going to go well. So, yeah, you will not find that on our store. Bye.
Bye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.